You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Okay, let's pray and let's hop into today's topic. All right, well, Father, I thank you for just the people that you are drawing to this podcast, literally from all over the world, Father. I thank you that it is a divine appointment. I thank you that they wouldn't even probably know about me if the Holy Spirit had not drawn them supernaturally. And I am just grateful, Father, for the message that you have for us in this series. I thank you, Father, for the power of beholding Jesus. I thank you that when Jesus is seen for who he really is, who we are is also revealed. I thank you that Jesus is the mirror image of our truest self. And I thank you, Father, that we are operating in a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, in the knowledge of Jesus, so that we can discover our truest self, Father. I thank you that the only real problem we have in life is an identity problem, and that, Father, you have solved it in Christ. You were in Christ reconciling the cosmos to yourself. We have been reconciled to Jesus. We've been baptized into him, Father, and we are fully co-associated with his burial, his crucifixion, actually, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Thank you that if people want to find us, if the enemy wants to find us, they're going to have to dig inside of Jesus to get there, to find us. And so thank you that Jesus truly is our secret place. So Father, I just pray that as we dive into part three of this episode, that it's going to be very enlightening for people, Father, but I also pray that it will be practical, Father. I pray that you would help us understand how to live the way Jesus did, one with you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to only focus on what you were doing and say what you were saying and live in that place of abiding in union with the Trinity here, Father, so that when people saw Jesus, they could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Thank you that that is where we are going, that is the fullness of the stature of the Son of God that we are growing into. We are being conformed to the image of Jesus. And so, Father, I just thank you for the practical way that you're going to explain it today, that you're going to help us today, Father, step into all that belongs to us in Jesus and operate out of our true identity as a way of being. So I bless our time together. I bless this podcast. I thank you right now that you are just thinking through my mind, speaking through my lips, and we just give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I close my eyes today when I pray. I don't always close my eyes, but it's awesome because I look up and then it's like, whoo, everybody's here. So hi, good morning. Good to see you guys. I am excited about today's topic. We have been in a series called Beholding. This is part three of that series. And I'm just going to kick it off right here in the beginning, rereading our scripture from 2 Corinthians 3:18. This has been the foundation scripture for this series, and it's going to be the same place that we jump off today. So let me read it. I'm reading it in the Passion Translation, and here's what it says. It says, "We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces." Now, I'm not really reading this in context, but just so that you are aware, this whole chapter in 2 Corinthians 3 is a little bit of a contrast here between Jesus and Moses and the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and the glory that shone from Moses's face, right? But he had to veil that glory when he came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, you know, in comparison to the fact that now we approach God and the glory, we are being transfigured from glory to glory, but we're coming to God with unveiled faces. This is not about hiding the glory anymore. This is about the revealing of the glory. Why? Because Jesus is the revealing of the glory of God, the fullness of the glory of God. He is the express image, the exact representation of the glory of God. So, just a little bit of a backstory there. So, let me start over. It says, "We can draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image, as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So I like this translation because it uses the word transfigured instead of transformed, because those kind of invoke two very different principles. We think of transformation more like a butterfly becoming a caterpillar versus transfiguration. We think of Jesus going up to the Mount of Transfiguration and this revealing of the glory of God happening, not because he became something else. It was just like the flesh was moved away. It was like the seen realm just disappeared and who he really was and all of his glory appeared. So I like that Passion Translation because the root word in the Greek is the same word in Romans 12:2 that says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Like in that place in Romans 12:2, that same Greek word is translated transformed. But honestly, the word transfiguration evokes a better picture of the process here. So that's why I use the Passion Translation. But now I just want to go read it in a different translation. Let me just go read it in the New King James so we can get another picture of this. It says, verse 18 again, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. See, it says transformed into this same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the reason I love this translation is because it really talks about this process of beholding, that when we are truly with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are transfigured. We become what we behold. Okay, what we focus on manifests. That's kind of the premise of this entire series. Now, there are scriptural principles for this, right? That what we behold manifest. I mean, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, that's kind of one way to look at that. But when we go throughout the scriptural journey of the Bible, right, we see example after example of God telling people to shift their focus onto what he wants them focused on. I mean, a good example of this is Abraham, when God had told him he is the father of a nation and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Why? Because words are also creative. It's not just what we behold, but also the words that we speak. So what was God doing? God was telling Abraham to start to speak about himself out of his true identity, which was the father of a nation, right? There is power in us speaking about who we are in Christ. There is power in agreement with God's opinion about us. Why? Why? Because words are creative. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. We're created in God's image. We're created as speaking spirits. So that's not the topic of this podcast, but hey, it's a little freebie. But he also told Abraham to go out and look at the stars, to number the stars, that was how many descendants he was going to have, right? They were going to be innumerable as the stars and innumerable as the sand. So he was having him focus and meditate on his destiny and who he actually was called to be. It was just another way of getting him to focus on who God had called him. It was just a meditation project, if you will, right? We know about the sheep, Jacob's sheep, that when he was working for Laban, right? And Laban was stealing his wages. And we know about the spotted and the speckled sheep. And we know about the regular sheep and how Jacob, you know, I don't know what you call that. He just carved out a little pattern in sticks to make it look like it was speckled. And he put it in front of the little feeding pen of where the sheep would come and eat. And it even worked with sheep. That is, they came and got a drink out of their little trough or whatever, they would all of a sudden begin reproducing after the speckled kind. And apparently, before Joseph did this little experiment or did this little project, well, the speckled kind were the ones that were reproducing the least. So it, again, it's just a scriptural example of of the power of focus, the power of when we focus on something, it manifests. Now, it is not just a scriptural principle that we learn. I mean, there's other examples, but I'm just going to go with those right now. It is also a principle of quantum physics. Now, if you follow me on the podcast, you know that I'm a little bit of a quantum physics junkie. Why? Because I love the intersection of faith and science. And I am thrilled that we are alive at that point in history where science is actually proving the principles of faith. That to me is so very, very exciting, right? We have learned from people like Einstein and Max Planck that, you know, the old science, the Newtonian physics that most of us were taught in school, in fact, they're still teaching this to kids in school, is actually been superseded by new science called quantum science, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, okay? Now, it doesn't mean that the old mechanics or the old physics is wrong. It means that it's incomplete. So the old physics are the laws that manage the material realm, the seen realm. They are laws of physics, laws of science that, you know, things like gravity, right? The law of motion, the law of inertia. Like, there's different laws that manage the way the physical world works. And those for all of history, really, until the, you know, the early 1900s, kind of coming into obviously where we are today, like, that was what people believed. I mean, there were many centuries before when they didn't even know that. But Newton, all of these things, we were progressing in our understanding of how the universe works. Well, enter quantum physics, and what they are discovering is that the Newtonian model of the atom is incorrect. Meaning, you know, most of us got taught the atom in school is like a solar system, right? So you had kind of the center of the atom, the nucleus of the atom, and then you had electrons and protons that were rotating around that thing like planets rotating around the sun. But what they found was that this is not the way the model of the atom is. In fact, at a quantum level, everything is energy. And when I say everything is energy, it's either a particle or a wave. Now, a particle is just slowed down to a frequency that it becomes what we call matter, right? Everything has a frequency, but there's high frequencies and lower frequencies. And if it's a higher frequency, it's something that we call a wave. And if it's a lower frequency, it's something that that's called a particle. So I'm not trying to give you a science lesson here, but I do think it's important because when I talk about what we focus on materializes, this is a true fact. This isn't a theoretical, theological. I mean, it is a theological, precept. It is a theological concept. It is a theological belief system, but it is also scientific and experience. I mean, they have done experiences. I say the word experience so much because I'm all about experiencing God that I can't say experiment. Experimenting. Now, they've done experiments that actually prove out the idea that what human beings, that the human being observing something actually manifests something. So back to my little quantum physics lesson, right? So we've got slowed down frequencies that are particles, and then we've got higher frequencies that are energy waves, meaning that they are invisible. They are not materialized at all. And there are a lot of waves that we already are aware of, right? Gamma rays, radio waves, microwaves. There's all kinds of energy and real things that are invisible that are going on all the time around us. Well, when you go back and look at the quantum model of an atom, what they realized, and they did this through something called the double slit experiment. If you want to Google it, you can go and find cool little YouTube videos. You can do like quantum physics, the double slit experiment for dummies. Like, that's the kind of stuff I watch, you know, and you can go and like validate what I'm saying. But the whole premise of the experiment is that the atom is actually just energy until a human being observes it. And the simple observation of a human being is what causes the electrons or the protons to appear as matter, as a particle. And that as soon as a human being is no longer observing it, it goes back into the invisible energetic state. And they call that collapsing of the wave. They call that the collapsing of the wave when the potential of where that atom or that proton is going to show up is actually, you know, observed and then becomes matter, becomes a particle. Like, this is revolutionary, you guys. And there are so many other revolutionary ideas in quantum physics. I just am so excited that Steve McVeigh just recently in the last several months came out with some really great books on the intersection between faith and quantum physics. If you want to check those out, we'll make sure and put those on the podcast. I've put them in the past, but there's Quantum Life, Quantum Faith, and there's one other one. I'll put it on the chat, and I'll put it in the blog post and stuff so that you can grab those books. So if you have a really great, if you have an interest in this stuff, Steve McVeigh has done an amazing job of researching it. It has both scripture principles, and it also has the quantum physics and the science behind it. And I'll tell you, you are going to get really excited. Why? Because it, for me, this is why it excites me, is that it backs up the creative nature of human beings. It backs up what scripture teaches us, that we are always interacting with God's creation, that we are creative by our very nature and by what we are observing, because creation is conscious. When I say conscious, it's not conscious like a human being. Oh, heck, I don't know how conscious it is. I mean, I'm no quantum physicist. I mean, who knows, right? You know, the word of God says the rocks cry out. Like, who knows? Like, there are so many mysteries and wonderful things to explore. But the point is that all of creation is moaning and groaning for the sons of God. And so there is an aspect of creation that is constantly interacting with us. It's like, you can imagine, we're walking by a tree and it's like, whoa, son of God, son of God, son of God. But it's also saying, wake up, wake up. You have the ability to govern creation. You have the ability to impact and manifest the new creation, right? And so these are revolutionary breakthroughs, not only in science, but revolutionary breakthroughs in what it means to be a human being. And it is worth investigating and understanding the power of our focus and the power of our words. One of my students just recently did an experiment with their grandkids and literally took three bowls of rice and took 2 weeks and had a happy face, kind of a neutral face, and a unhappy face on the bowls. And they just did a little experiment. They started speaking blessing over the happy. When I say happy, it was like a little, you know, happy face on the top of the little rice Tupperware. But on the happy rice, they were speaking blessings over. The neutral rice that just kind of had a neutral little face on it, they didn't speak anything over. And on the unhappy face, they just began cursing it. They began cursing it. And she sent me a picture and she gave me permission to share it. Maybe I'll share this on the blog and on the thing as well. But it showed within 2 weeks, there was mold and decay happening in the rice that was being cursed. And there was, you can tell a difference between the thing that they weren't speaking over at all. It wasn't, you know, moldy and any of that stuff. But there was zero change in the rice that they were speaking life and blessing over. You guys, these are experiments you can do at home on the power of your words. So what I'm teaching here is not just, you know, good Bible teaching. This is scientifically being proven. And I'm sharing this to you because I want you to know how powerful you are. And that when I say, when you behold Jesus, you are transfigured. When I say it, heck, when the Apostle Paul says it, that we become what we behold, which is the premise of this podcast, and that our words matter. I want you to know that this is backed up scripturally and that this is being proven out in the day and age that we live in. Now, this is a segue because I am going to talk to you today about how to control your dang focus, right? Because if you're like me, I feel like I have a crazy person living in my head sometimes, right? So I am going to talk about that. But before I do that, I'm going to segue here for a moment because listen, we're coming into an election season. People are going to lose their minds. This is what they do, okay? And I don't care where you stand politically. When I say I don't care, I love you dearly. But I personally, I'm not even going to say what I'm trying to say is I personally operate from a position that I kind of see what's going on. I see the enemy's strategy to divide and to conquer, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. I understand the dangers in us and them, and us forgetting that what we have in common, and constantly villainizing and calling, you know, we get this picture where other people, we just begin to call everybody evil, no matter which side you're on. And that we end up dividing, and it is so destructive. And it's destructive because what we are focusing on and what we are speaking, I understand the spiritual principles and operation and the strategy to destroy this nation and to destroy humanity and to destroy love your neighbor, you know, take the log out of your own eye before you pull it out of your other, you know, your neighbor's eye. I understand that it's a huge distraction for the body of Christ. Because if what we behold is what manifests, and all we can behold is what's wrong with people and what is wrong with this country, then guess what we're going to get more of? And if all we're doing is speaking over this country, everything that's wrong and all the problems, and that is what the media does 24/7. It is a strategy. It is a strategy of mind control. It is a mind control strategy. And I'm not... whether it is, you know, again, I don't want to go into all of this. Here's what I know. The power of darkness is real. And all of us can come under its influence. I mean, Jesus is telling Peter, you know, you're the rock that I'm going to build the church upon. This, you know, Peter, you are Simon, you are Peter. I say that you are the rock. And then four verses later, he's saying, Satan, get thee behind me. So it's not about people being evil. It's about being under the influence of the deception and being blinded by the god of this world. And unfortunately, that can happen to the best of us because we wake up every morning, usually in the flesh, and we've forgotten who we are. And we wake up saying words like, oh, I don't feel good. My bones are aching. We talk about things not recognizing that it's just like speaking to that rice. Right? We don't realize the power of our words. And so we curse our body. We curse our finances. We curse our relationship. We curse our kids. And when I say curse, we're not cussing them out. Although, heck, you might be doing that. I'm not going to put it past you. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about speaking death over our lives, because it is the way of the fallen system. Because we have been trained in a system that says, call things the way you see things with your physical senses. That's the way things are. This is the real realm. This is reality. And that's the way that you talk. You just, you know, you're a straight shooter. You're just a straight shooter. I just call it like I see it. Well, that is not scriptural. We call things that be not as though they are. And we are called to focus on heaven, to focus on Jesus, to behold the glory of God, not just in ourselves, but if all things have been reconciled to Christ, we are called to focus on the glory of creation, the glory of every single human being who is so precious that Jesus was willing to die for them. They may be acting like a crazy person right now. They may be a criminal. I don't know what evil they say. They may be a Satan worshiper right now. But if you continue to speak only evil things over these people, then you are using your creative powers to propagate the continue them to stay stuck. The principle of beholding Jesus in people that don't know Jesus, come on. That's what God's done all throughout scripture. He's called things that be not as though they are. Gideon, you know, you may look like you're a coward, but you're a mighty man of courage, right? Saul, your name is Paul. Changing people's names. Abram, your name is Abraham, right? He speaks it says in the Amplified Version, of the non-existent things as though they already exist. You know, one of the movies that I've been recommending, I don't know if I recommended it. I mean, we deal with this movie a lot in the work that I do, but it's called Tomorrowland. It's a Disney movie. Now, don't go on off on Disney for a moment. Like, just drop all of it for a second and recognize, again, that all throughout the Bible, God was giving dreams. God was giving visions to, I mean, and again, I'm not saying Disney's, I don't have, again, I don't play in that realm of good and evil. I play in the realm of the kingdom. I play in the realm of observing the new creation. So I'm just trying to say, drop all of that paradigm for a moment so that you can actually hear me and not get triggered by little words that I'm saying because you're under that. Okay, so regardless of what you think about Disney, the movie Tomorrowland is absolutely a prophetic word. And it's about the power of what we behold in the future. Because if the enemy knows this, which I can guarantee you that the kingdom of darkness has no other way to operate than through the faculty of human beings. Why? Because we have the authority. We're the ones with the body. That's why everybody wants a body. That's why demons want to possess a body. Why? Because this body is creative. This body is actually technology. Our frequencies that are going out with our focus, with our level of consciousness, like they are impacting the material realm. Like, I don't know. I didn't know I was going to go in all to this day. I said it was going to be a rabbit trail, but I'm telling you, this is powerful revelation. This is how powerful your capacity to behold is. And it is why the fight of faith is always for what you see and what you say. It is for what you behold and what you speak. And I will tell you, when you are in a battle or you are in the middle of a contradiction or you are under pressure from circumstances in any way, shape, or form, we go almost by default, right, to the natural realm. Look, my bank account is overdrawn. My bank account balance is overdrawn. What the doctor's report just came back and I've been diagnosed with XYZ, right? The divorce papers have been sent in the mail. I received them in the mail. I could go on with other examples. Whatever the circumstance is, you know, last night on my Emerge call, I asked people, you know, how many of you are dealing with a contradiction in your life right now? And 100% of my students raised their hand. So my guess is that in your life that you are dealing with at least one contradiction right now. One. Let me tell you, that contradiction is in depending on, you know, how many times you've been through that contradiction or how far you are in the battle or how long you've been, you know, taught the kind of principles that I'm teaching you here right now is probably screaming at you. Okay. I've been doing this for a very long time and circumstances still scream at me. Now, maybe people get to that place where it doesn't happen. You know what? Well, they don't need my podcast. Okay. You can just listen. The people that need it can listen to it. But here's what I want to say. Is that taking our thoughts captive when we are under pressure? Well, let me back up before I talk about this, because I'm saying big things about what's going on in the world right now. And maybe I'm even going to get louder with this as we get, you know, the craziness heats up as we get closer and closer to this election. I mean, it is a prime time opportunity for the enemy to come in and get our words and get our focus and get us off of focusing on what's been reconciled in the new creation and get us speaking the opposite of what we actually want by cursing the very things that we think are wrong rather than speaking life and speaking, creating. You know, God didn't go out on the day of Genesis and say, oh my God, it's so dark out here. I mean, the level of negativity and the level of crazy, I'm picking up my phone because there's crazy on social media, crazy. The prophecies that we're getting about this eclipse, blah, 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 blah. The prophecies that are coming out about the hacking, okay? And then the proof, oh, look at all these hacks, look at all these hacks. Well, what are you focusing on? I mean, I'm almost surprised that more false prophecies don't come to pass because they go viral and everybody gets terrified of it and everybody starts to speak it and everybody starts to share it and everybody starts to go on a rampage about it. And guess what? We're getting exactly what we're creating. Now, I'm saying some things that maybe you're going to hop off and be like, she's crazy. Okay. But I will tell you, what I'm sharing today is straight from the Bible and it's straight from quantum physics. So here's what I want to share with you is what do we do when the circumstances and the world and everything is going crazy and it's like Our inner world has been hijacked. You know, a human being has 60,000 plus thoughts a day. You guys, that is, I don't even know. I didn't even do the math. Let me just pull up my calculator and let's just see how many thoughts that is in a week. I'm sure I should be able to do this in my head. But you know what? When you're live and a bunch of people are staring at you, it's better to use a calculator. So it's 420,000 thoughts in a week. All right. I'm going to do this 60,000 times 30. That's 1,800,000 thoughts in a month, in 30 days. So almost 2 million thoughts a month, right? 420,000 thoughts a week, 60,000 thoughts a day. Okay. This to me feels so overwhelming. How in the world are we supposed to take our thoughts, 2 million thoughts in over 30 days? Like, how do we take those captive? Like, this is a really good question. Let's go over to this scripture and let's just hear what it says, because it's very relevant to what we're talking about today. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, I'm just going to read it in the New King James first, and then we'll see. There's some really good translations, and I'll see if I can remember which ones they are. But in 2 Corinthians 10, 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So let me just go into a different translation here and let's see how it reads in a couple places. Okay. In the Passion Translation, it says, this is always interesting. It says, "For although we live in the natural realm, we do not wage a military campaign employing human weapons." Well, my goodness, what if the nations of the world actually figured this out? It says, "using manipulation to achieve our aims, but instead our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide." That's an interesting translation. But in verse 5, it says, "we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One." It says, "and since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience." So I like the way it does the last part of verse 6, because what we're doing is we're taking rebellious thoughts captive, like prisoners of war. We're taking rebellious ideas, rebellious mindsets, rebellious imaginations, rebellious philosophies. Okay, let me go into the Amplified Classic, because it's probably going to amplify it really well. Why am I doing this? Because I really want to explain this today. It says, "for the weapons of warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds." Now, a stronghold in this sense, you guys, is any mindset, any pattern in our lives, any habit, anything that has been established. What is a stronghold? It's like a fort, right? Like, it's a place where the kingdom of darkness has a foothold, okay, in our lives, in our thinking. It's a place of unbelief. It's a place where we have wrong belief. It's a place where we have believed lies, and it has become something that is a part of our makeup, not a part of our spirit, because in Christ we're free. And when we behold Jesus, we see who we really are, and we demolish those strongholds. But this is like those places where, you know, really contradictions are all, they're only the reason they're contradictions and you don't have the manifestation of the victory of Jesus in your life is because you believe more, or you either believe more in the opposite of what is ours in Christ. You trust more in what you can see, like you, and you have a habit of being broke, or you have a habit of being programmed into a Western medical system that says this is a diagnosis that is incurable, right? So you just have more belief around what isn't in heaven than you do in the spiritual reality, or you're in the contradiction because doubt is just plaguing your heart and plaguing your mind, right? And you're being bombarded with either programming from just the world that we live in, right? Or you're being assaulted by the kingdom of darkness. So let's go here. It says, in so much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings in every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay, I'm going to stop reading all these translations because I want to get to my point and we're running out of time. So how do we in the world do we take our thoughts captive? How do we overthrow these strongholds? How do we deal with this unbelief? What do we do when our focus is being assaulted every single day externally? Well, I mean, there's some practical things you can do. You can turn off the news. You know, you can pray about who you're supposed to vote for. You don't have to engage in the negativity. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I want to know what's going on in the world. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit can tell you to turn on the news, or he can bring it to you if you actually need to know something. Like, this is how serious this assault is on our minds now. I mean, this is the assault that's on our youth with all of the social media and all of the things. Like, we are on these devices, you guys. Like, it is a habit. It is an addiction. We are addicted to media. And it is just something you can take. You want to fast? I mean, I feel like the fast to do in 2024 has, not that we shouldn't do fast or whatever, you know, and it's not a religious thing that we're doing. It's we're putting the material realm under. We are ascending to the place of where our spirits are at peace. Like, we're at peace, you guys. Like, finding peace in this frantic world, it's like, wow, slowing down, going out in nature, having a dinner without phones. I mean, these are things that are real challenges in the times that we live in. So there's just a really practical strategy is what? You know what? Spend less time on your phone. You can track how much time you're spending on your phone. Just spend less. And just the distractions, you know, get that out of your thinking. If what you focus on is being hijacked by the external world, well, then shut the external world down for a little bit, you know? The second thing that I want to share about this is this isn't, I mean, yes, there are strategies like that are practical and that you can just do. But I also want to tell you that this taking our thoughts captive, tearing down these strongholds is not a work that we do independent from God. Okay, this is not like I'm over here independently by myself having to take my thoughts captive so that I can focus on something and I can speak something into life because I am a creative being. And I'm over here looking in the mirror of Jesus. And as I behold Jesus, well, I'm transfigured into Jesus's image. And it's all perceived through this lens of separation. Okay, that is not what I'm talking about. Right? Why am I stopping to say that? It's because the lens of separation is the biggest stronghold that we all deal with. It is the master lie that entered the human race at the fall when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they became independent in a self-consciousness that now they're naked and ashamed. They wake up, they're all of a sudden they are blaming. Like, that's where that separateness entered the world. And we became independent judge. We became judgers of good and evil. We became, frankly, the accuser. We took on that nature of judge, and judge comes with it, accusing and convictor. Okay, like the whole courtroom came with that. And that separation is the ultimate problem. So when I'm talking about taking our thoughts captive, or I'm talking about beholding Jesus, like, there is an aspect of this that we're looking outside of ourselves at Jesus, because Jesus is not only in us, he is with us, okay? We are a part of the Trinity. Yes, the Trinity is in us. The fullness of the Godhead is in us, and we're a part of the Trinity, but we're also, there's a, you know, there are three persons in one. There is this uniqueness to us. So I can be with Jesus, but Christ is also in me. So bear with me for a moment, because it's important when we talk about taking our thoughts captive or focusing or something, or the power of our words. Because remember, my word for March is that we are making quantum leaps in our consciousness. We are going from, being a victim, things are happening to me, to things have to, I have to do it by me. Like if I don't do it, nothing's going to happen, into through me, where God is now flowing through me, into as me. And as me is where I am operating in union with God. And so we want to take what I'm sharing here and put it into a union lens. So how do we take our thoughts captive from a union, from a place of abiding in Christ? How do we even behold Jesus from a place of abiding in Christ? Well, I mean, one of the most important things about beholding Jesus from a place of abiding in Christ is the reason you're looking in the mirror is so that you see Jesus staring back out of your own eyes. So inherently, there is a union paradigm in that beholding. Okay, when we behold Jesus, we see ourselves. Why? Because it's a mirror. He reflects you back to you. So it's a mirror of union. But when it comes to taking our thoughts captive, okay, the real power of this, the real power that spirit-filled union, triune, family-dwelling believers have is that it really is no longer our focus, and it's really no longer our words. All right. Really what the goal here is that Jesus is now possessing our body. Just like, we talk about the enemy wants this technology. Well, guess what? This body houses Yahweh. This body is capable and is the dwelling place of God. And so God wants to possess our faculties. God wants to possess our mind. God wants to possess our eyes. God wants to possess our words, meaning he wants us to give him our eyes. Like you, what do you see? That is actually the purpose of prophecy, is that God is now seeing, specifically in visions, is that now your eyes are yielded to God, and now God is peering, showing you the future, showing you the truth, unveiling the new creation, unwrapping what you can't see. And I'm looking outside when I'm looking away here. But it's like the material realm peels back, and you're having eyes. You're observing something, and the spiritual becomes, the spiritual is first, spirit first, then the natural. Everything has its origin in the spirit, then the natural. And as I observe the spirit, it's like I could even just overlay it. It's like if I look across the street over here, I'm looking out my window right now, and there's a white house with black trim, really cute little house. I love this house. And a little two-story, it's got a little separate garage, just super cute. And if my neighbor said to me, I'm going to paint my house, and I'm going to paint my house blue, okay? I can look over at this house right now that is white and black, and I can visualize, just my eyes are open, but I can visualize the house is blue. Now, it takes practice, right? Because my physical eyes are saying it's white, it's white, it's white. Now, if I close my eyes, sometimes that's easier. I can see the blue. And again, it takes practice. This is one of the major things that we learn in Emerge, you guys. If you have not applied to work with me and you have not really considered that, I'll tell you, people, it's a school of transfiguration. And I'll tell you, your activated spiritual senses are the most important faculty that you will ever develop. I mean, we go to school to learn to drive. We go to learn, we learn all of these things, we go to college and we learn advanced degrees so we can get a job, And it's like, well, let's go to divine school. Let's go to a place where we learn how to actually operate in our spirit and actually go fix the future. But anyway, you can close your eyes and you can look and you can see the blue house. Well, why am I using this example? Because my neighbor has told me the future. My neighbor has told me I'm going to paint my house blue, and I can envision the house now blue. Don't you love some of these like home shows now that like they show you what the redo is going to look? I love looking at that. They're like going to tear down this wall and make this new kitchen, and you get a whole like, whoa, this is what the house is going to look like after the redo. Well, that's really a lot like what we're doing on planet Earth. Like God wants to give you a vision of, this is what your finances look after the restoration. This is what your body is going to look like after you're totally healed. This is what the relationship looks like when it's actually reconciled, right? And so we hold the vision. we hold the vision, but I'll tell you, trying to do that in the natural is where we get exhausted, right? It's like, no, like it's yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's becoming aware of your union with God and saying, Holy Spirit, you can have my eyes. Show me, help me see, help me observe this as finished. Help me, and I'm closing my eyes because sometimes you can see better when you close your eyes, but you practice this enough and you can, and when you're spiritual, when you're really operating in this and you are really fully awake, it's open eyes, okay? And you can see both at the same time. You just see it. And again, you go, Shalice, you're just making it up. Am I? If what we observe materializes, what are we observing? And you guys, I literally have so many testimonies about this, not even just my own testimonies. I remember one time here, this is one of my favorites. A couple was just doing a walk by down this little busy street right there. And they said, you know, this shopping center looks a little debilitated. You know, I really think this thing needs to get upgraded. And they were like, and wouldn't it be nice if we had a Krispy Kreme here? This was like right when Krispy Kreme was like, you know, all the rage. And you know what they built there? They redid the shopping center and they built a Krispy Kreme there. I mean, like, whoa, like what? Come on. Like, that's a fun example. Okay. Like, we are here to revitalize city, rebuild the nations. We're here to partner with God. And of course, we practice this in our own lives. We practice this in our finances. We practice this in our health, right? So you yield, you come into union with God and you yield your eyes, you yield your faculties, and you say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me the future. Show me what it looks like. And you meditate on it. It's what meditation is. And that is how you take your thoughts captive. It's say, Holy Spirit, you observe through my eyes. Holy Spirit, you speak. That's why praying in tongues is so powerful, because now we've given our tongues over to Holy Spirit. So, gosh, I could keep going on this. I've run a little bit late, but here's what I want to say as we wrap. You guys are extremely powerful, and the power of beholding and transfiguration just doesn't happen with your own identity. Transfiguration is a call. We are here to transfigure planet Earth. I know that you have been taught a lot of things about the Earth is getting, it's getting worse and worse, and it's getting, I mean, the enemy is actually using theology to get the body of Christ to partner with his plan for the future. Okay. Theology, it matters. Theology matters. Your end times view matters. Jesus said of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Okay. He said, we are seated. Jesus is seated far above powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. He says, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear son. You tell me one place, except when people start going into the book of Revelation and then they start trying to reinterpret the Old Testament to talk about these end times. Like it's like these theories about the end times, you guys, are not what the early church believed. Okay, it's so uninformed. And the problem is that it's like the news. Like we just like to look at a train wreck. We just, the negativity bias, it's like we just get caught into this stuff and fear and da, 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 da. But I'm telling you, the body of Christ is waking up. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the new show that's going to be on the Grace Awakening Network called What's a Shalice that's going to be coming out. Not because of my show. My show is going to be probably a little different than anything's out there. We just wrapped up filming the last few days and y'all be praying for me and the courage to actually go where I feel like the Lord is telling me to go. But there is so much good theology on that channel that's just debunking religion, debunking the things that we've learned growing up, the things that have caused fear in our lives, the things that have caused us to see the world get, I mean, like, because here's the thing. The confirmation bias is real. So what you are focused on and what you believe, you will always get confirmation of. It's called synchronicity, and it's just called that we have a reticular activating system in our brain that filters out things that are irrelevant to us because there's too much sensory information coming in all the time. So it's like, this is relevant, this is relevant, this is relevant. So you'll always find confirmation. If you think the world is getting brighter and that there's good news everywhere and that there's things to be grateful for, well, guess what? You're going to get confirmation that those things are true. And when you are focused on increase and abundance and healing, well, guess what? You're going to get confirmations that this is working, this is working. But if you're focused on lack and you're focused on sickness and you're focused on discord and strife and all the problems, you're going to get plenty of confirmations that you're running out of money, plenty of confirmations. The seen realm and you are partnered. Now, this is true whether you like it or not. This is what it means to be asleep, because people don't recognize this. They don't recognize how powerful they are. They don't recognize the new creation, and they don't recognize the partnership that they have with God to give their body as a living sacrifice so that God can observe the future that he wants to create, and God can still continue to create heaven on earth through their mouth, and that we can actually be the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ in the earth with the technology, with a mouth and a body and frequencies to actually transform it. Now, I gotta go. I could go on again for hours about this, but we're not done in the series. I'll keep teaching on this. I think there's been a ton of things that I've said today that make this episode worth re-listening to. And you guys, share it with your friends. Invite them to the group. I am on a mission to get the reality of how powerful we are as human beings out into the world. The name of the show that I'm going to be doing on GAN is called What's a Shalice? What in the World? And it's all about answering existential questions and learning how to operate as a divine human being. Also, if you haven't applied to Emerge, come on, get in there and get in the school. It is life-changing. It's time for you to transfigure. So come to a school of transfiguration where it can actually happen. And then lastly, I don't want to forget to tell you guys that Elevate is 50% off all month long. So if you have not jumped into Elevate, go over to shalice.com, go to programs, and you can join Elevate. The promo code for March is LEAP, right? It's in honor of the leap year and the quantum leap word of the month. You can type in L-E-A-P, all caps, get 50% off of that. I'm actually doing my coaching in Elevate today at noon. So if you're watching this live and you're not in Elevate, hop in. You'll be able to join us over at noon in the Elevate coaching group. When you get the portal, it'll tell you what to do. So you guys, that is it for today. And we will continue this next week. We'll continue this conversation. So again, share it with friends, jump in, figure out how you're supposed to work with me, listen to this again, all of that stuff. And we'll see you next time. All right. Love you much.
Thanks for listening to Shalice's podcast. This recording is in part made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalice.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalice's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalice.com and watch Shalice's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.